If I get this mic 5 times louder, thank you. Come on, are you excited tonight? Come on, let's praise him. I don't know about you. Listen, I'm 25, and I am too old to play church. When I come into the house, mic way up, brother. When I come into the house of God, God requires all of me. I refuse to give God 10%. I refuse to give God 5%. I refuse to take your seat to play church. Mic way up, brother. I know you can do it. See, the Bible says many times when the children of Israel would defeat giants, would defeat a battle, the Bible says that Jesus would have them. I'm going to switch mics because this is not working for me. Can you put me on this one? Because I know this one's loud. Check, 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 check. There we go. See, the Bible says many times that God would require the people to build a monument. Why? Because it's so often as Christians, we get saved, we get delivered, we get set free. God anoints us. God empowers us. God touches us. And then we come to church, and then we get around a bunch of religious people, and then we get comfortable, and then we lose our praise, and then we lose our excitement, and keep it up, please, and then we lose our passion. But I don't want to forget the hell that God brought me out of. I don't want to forget the gang. I don't want to forget the drugs. I don't want to forget the addiction. I don't want to forget. That's why you don't praise, because you don't remember. That's just offensive, brother. You know what's offensive? The fact that we come once a week for an hour and I have to get up here and beg you with my veins popping out to give everything to God. I have to beg you with my veins popping out to get excited. Yet 2 hours a day on Netflix and nobody had to beg you to spend your day on the TV. 3 hours a day on Facebook and nobody had to beg you. 8 hours a day at work and nobody had to beg you to work hard. Nobody had to beg you to be excited at the football game. Nobody had to beg you to be excited at the basketball game. Nobody had to beg you to be excited at the club. I don't understand how before you were saved, you were full of passion and full of fire. And then we get saved and we become boring and corny. This city is not going to be impacted by a powerless church. That is why God has raised you up in this place, not as a social club, not as a nursery, but as an army. Come on, help me tonight. But as an army that says we didn't come to throw salt on each other. We didn't come to play flashlight tag and see who preaches the best. We didn't come to sweat out and then dance with a bunch of hypocrites. We came because the Bible says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. If you're not violent, there is no room for you in this kingdom. Listen, here's the problem. The drug addicts are more convicted tonight than we are. The prostitutes are willing to pay more of a price than the churches. How is it possible that this city is dying and going to hell? And we gather in churches and we have to muster something up. I felt the power of God the moment I walked in. And I feel the Holy Ghost saying that if you'll get hungry, that if you'll get thirsty, that if you'll put your binky down and your bottle down and your rattler down and you say, God, I don't need a cheerleader. I am a soldier in the army of God. I am thirsty for the presence of God. I am thirsty for the power. I just don't know about all that, brother. What passion? People come and like, I don't know why is he sweating like that and doing all that, and why is he running like that? And friend, I'm telling you, passion is so rare in the American church. I don't understand. Every area of society has passion and zeal, yet the body of Christ, we come and fall asleep during the service. What would happen if we weren't like this in worship and like this in the offering? And then the moment the preacher gets up, everybody starts falling asleep. I want you to talk back to me tonight. I didn't come to put on a show. I didn't come to dance and lose my voice for nothing. I came because the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob is jealous for you to get excited. Why is it that our best life now gets us passionate, but dying to ourselves doesn't? God isn't trying to enhance your lukewarm Christian life. God isn't trying to enhance your 4 hours a day on TV and 5 hours a day on Netflix. I'm telling you, friend, being lukewarm, there's no such thing in the entire Bible. Every time I say it, Nina goes, don't say that. It's not biblical. There is no such thing as being a lukewarm Christian. If you woke up today and you weren't burning with the fire of God, I'm so sorry. I know a preacher told you to pray a prayer and Jesus will build a treehouse in your heart. And you don't have to be on fire. And you don't have to be passionate, and you don't have to be involved, but I'm telling you, if you didn't wake up today burning with the fire of God, then you are not a Christian. There is only one type of believer in the New Testament, and it's those that are violent. It helped me tonight, Holy Ghost. It's those that are passionate. It's those that have a cry. It's those that have a testimony. It's those that have a memory of what God has done. He is too good just to sit back and play church. He's been too good to my family. He's been too good to my city. He's been too good to my ministry. Because you think, honestly, that it's God that wants you to be weak tonight. You think it's God that wants you to spend hours a day bowing down, passionate about Babylon and Mammon. The question isn't whether you praise or not, it's who you praise. Because every one of us prays, every one of us shouts. We just praise and shout for different things. And I'm not going to allow my flesh to get in the way of my spirit. That's why the Bible says in the garden, in the most important hour of human history, that Jesus looked at the disciples and says, your flesh is weak, but your spirit is willing. I came in tired just like you. I came in weary just like you. But when I begin to praise, when I begin to shout, when I begin to thank God, when I begin to praise like I never praised, when I say, God, I got to go to another level. If I want to see something I've never seen before, I'm going to have to get off my religious tail. Well, brother, I'm just not that type of Christian. No. Let me just say as nice as possible, you're not a Christian. Jesus didn't say, follow me and you can go to church on Sunday and live the whole week like the devil and then one day stand before me and barely make it into heaven. Jesus didn't say you could follow me and not heal the sick and not cast out devil. Oh, I'm sorry, you're a young person. I don't find a youth group gospel or a youth group in the New Testament. Do you know what I find? I find a 14-year-old man named John that Jesus came to and said, you might be young, you might not think you have it all together, but Jeremiah, I formed you in your mother's womb, and I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how poor you are, how rich you are, how white you are, or how black you are. The same God that raised Jesus out of the grave, help me tonight, has quickened. The Bible says that God wrought Christ from the grave. Now we only find this word wrought, wroughwrought. We only find this word one time in the entire Bible, and it means this: to exude every ounce of power. If you were at your friend's house moving a heavy grand piano, and you know how it is when you pick that thing up, it's at the point where every part and every muscle and every ounce of energy is tensed, and every part of you is trying with all of your strength and with all of your might to pick this piano up. That's what the word wrought means. And the Bible says when Christ died on that cross and went down to hell, he didn't just die for you, he died as you. He took on your sin. He took on your depression. I think some of you forgot this gospel. He took on your anxiety. He took on your fear. He took on your kid's addiction. He took on your cousin's addiction. He took on your uncle and your auntie's addiction. The one that knew no sin became sin. The last lamb, the blameless, spotless, Lamb of God. Help me on this mic, brother. I know I'm going to keep bugging you until it gets louder. The Bible says this. He put all of his energy. And when he created the world, he didn't rot anything. When he created man, he didn't exert all his energy. But the only way to get Christ out of hell, why? Because every demonic spirit that is plaguing you tonight piled itself on Christ. Every principality, abortion jumped on top of him. Anxiety jumped on top of him. Gangs jumped on top of him. Suicide jumped on top of them. Murder jumped on top of them. Rape jumped on top of them. Anger jumped on top of them. Teen pregnancy jumped on top of them. And there was a dog pile at the depths of hell. And all of a sudden, a light shined down through the darkness. I don't know about you, but I remember January 12th, 2011, when the light broke in to the hell that I created for myself. See, if you're not serving God, then your life is empty. There is no bottle that'll fill your void. There is no pipe that'll fill your void. There is... And in that moment, every Holy Ghost, someone's about to start manifesting in this place. I could see it on some of you. Every demonic force that stepped foot on top of Jesus, that thought that it was going to overwhelm and tap him out, the Bible says was broken. And the Bible says God took that power that wrought Christ, that power that has authority over demons. You might have came in here with every devil known to man, but you don't have to leave the same. You might have a religious spirit and be on staff here. You might have a spirit of Netflix and be in this place. You might have a Disney Channel spirit. I don't know which witchcraft or what demonic power is holding you down, but I know when the King of Kings and when the Lord of Lords, when the Alpha and the Omega, when the beginning and when the end, when the God of Heaven's armies steps in the place. Oh, Holy Ghost. You know why there's such a war tonight to get you to praise? Because the Bible says God inhabits religious gatherings. The Bible says if you change your name and put a cross outside and join a denomination, then the presence of God will manifest. It doesn't say any of those things. It says when you begin to praise, when you begin to shout, when you begin to cry out to God, this isn't a white thing, a black thing, a Mexican thing, or an Asian thing. It's a kingdom thing. When the presence of God shows up in a place, cancer, let me say it again, cancer has to get on its knees. Addiction has to bow down. Depression has to bow down. Fear has to bow down. Suicide has to bow down. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You either bow now. I'm not going to have to bow, friend. I'm telling you, every single person in this room tonight is going to have to pray someday. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather bow when I'm allowed to than when I'm forced to. Oh, because Jay-Z will bow on that day. Obama will bow on that day. Donald Trump will bow on that day. Ellen DeGeneres will bow on that day. Oprah will bow. Lady Gaga will bow. 50 Cent will bow. There's not a knee on this planet that isn't going to have to bow down. There's not a person on this planet that's not going to take account on Judgment Day. Every single one of you, nobody's escaping. The Bible says God took... When he wrought his power, that very power that raised Christ, he took that power and he hid it somewhere on the earth. Now, I'm not like the type of guy that's into like trying to find treasure and getting maps. You know, there's people that live their entire lives trying to look for Atlantis and look for the Yeti or the Abominable Snowman. There's people that are obsessed with searching for things that can't be found. See, when I look at where would God hide his power? Now, we know the geographical location of Jesus on the earth. There's actually a place where the Prince of God dwells on the earth, and it's in your closet at your house. The Bible says if you pray in secret, your Father who's in secret will answer you in secret and remote you publicly. See, if you want to get into the presence of God, you don't have to wait for Revive 925. You don't have to wait for a conference. You don't have to wait for an event. But you could go in your bedroom and you could praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You could go into your bedroom and say, I don't need to wait for a guest preacher to come to the church, but I could praise. What would happen if you started bringing the presence home with you? Every week, Pastor, we come to the altar. We do it at our revival. And we go, God, I need you, God. I love you, God. And then, oh, lights go on. Altar call is over. No more Holy Ghost for the rest of the week for you. We all just put our passion, put our excitement, put our zeal. That's why your kids don't want to come to church. Help me be nice, Holy Ghost. I already know I'm getting invited back, so I'm just going to say it. They don't want to go to church because they don't see Christ at home. They don't want to be like Christ because you don't want to be like Christ. And you listen to the same music as them. It's just 30 years older. Mom, why can't I listen to Lady Gaga, but you still listen to Al Green? Friend, what is the difference between you coming to church once a week, your kids watching you worship and praise at the altar, and then you can't get along with your husband all week long? You're constantly nagging, he's constantly arguing, and you're constantly fighting. But what would happen if tonight, not just 50%, not just 10%, I'm not going to take tons of time tonight, not just 80%, but every single person was at this altar crying out for a move of God in Antioch? You came all this way, why spectate? Do you know religion is the only sect or thing in the earth that says, Christianity, that says you could watch and still grow? Oh, you don't feel like coming to the altar? It's all good. We'll just preach to the radical ones. Oh, you don't feel like praising? It's okay. Just sit in the back somewhere and just be lukewarm, and God loves you, and God wants to build a fort in your heart, and God bless you, and everything's going to be fine. And this way, oh, God's working on you. Friend, I'm telling you, the moment I met the power of God, the moment the Holy Spirit came inside of me, in 1 second, alcohol addiction was broken. In 1 second, pornography addiction was broken. You don't have to join and wait for 6 months. I wish I was lying tonight. One encounter and one moment in the raw presence and the power. I'm going to pick on you tonight. I'm going after you. Want to know why? Because I can't sit back and watch the devil bind people in the church. I can't watch the enemy hold you your mouth closed. The enemy holds you down. The enemy binds you. When the Bible says God put that power and he stuck it on the inside of us. Do you know where the power is hidden? The power is hidden inside of you. He didn't put the power in you to sit at church on Sunday. Check. He didn't put the power in you so that you could spectate, just keep it there the entire time, so that you could watch, and so that you could watch other people worship and be like Saul and let David worship for you. There's going to have to come a time where you start engaging this thing called Holy Spirit. There's going to have to come a time where you get off the sidelines and get involved. It's like buying a gym membership. 2 months go by. I'm like, hey, brother, not to be rude, but you look the same. Oh, yeah, dude, I've been at the gym for 2 months every day, really hitting it hard. You haven't changed at all. I'm just curious what workout routine you're on. Oh, well, you know, I haven't changed at all on the outside because I just go and I watch other people work out. Not to be rude, but do you actually think you're going to grow that way? Well, I figure if I watch long enough, something's going to happen in me. Friend, we come to church where this is a spiritual workout place. This is a gym for the army of God. This is not where we fight the battle. I love going Robo Shambiarabaka. I love running on the altar and yelling at the devil. But this isn't where we fight. This is where we train. He didn't say bring your light into the church. He said let your light shine in darkness. I'm just not really seeing God do much in my life. You can't see light in light. If I were to turn a flashlight on right now, there would be nothing coming out of it. Why? Because there's already light. We don't need more light. Guys, if you're waiting to come every week and to fight the enemy, you're missing the point of the gospel. But when you go into darkness, and when you turn on the light of Christ, the light pierces. And let me just tell you what doesn't happen. The darkness doesn't say, well, just give me a couple more minutes with this person. I don't know if you know, whenever you turn the light on, an argument in the air doesn't break out. I'm like, okay, let me turn the light switch on, and there's a 5-minute timer for light and darkness to have to battle before the light works. And then after 5 minutes, light's going to argue with darkness, and hopefully light will win. Friend, if you were to turn the lights on in this building, the very second you flip the switch, every bit of darkness would have to go. Why? Because you can't measure darkness, but you can measure light. See, scientifically, darkness doesn't exist. There's no way you can measure how dark a room is, but you can measure how light a room is. Why? Because darkness is only, ask any person that's into science, darkness is only the absence of light. The absence of light. Darkness only prevails because light doesn't shine. See, the reason why there's so much darkness in our city is because there's not enough light. It's interesting because Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In other words, it's not the gangs in the city that are running this thing. It's the kingdom of God, and we need more laborers that would go out in to the harvest, that would get off the lazy religious day and say, I got to bring. If you brought the gospel to as many people you brought your gossip to, you got to check this movie out. What would happen if you stopped recommending the new movie and started recommending Christ? Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? What would happen if instead of gossiping and saying, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? You said, did you hear what happened to the Son of God 2,000 years ago? Why? Because I am tired of being a weak, anemic. I'm going to go ahead and say it, and some of you can quote me. Baskin Robbins, pick and choose, McDonald's, smile all the time, Burger King, have it your way, malnutrition, American dead church. I want to raise up in this place tonight, Isaiah Saldivar. I don't want to go through the motions. I didn't come for routine. Sometimes you got to get tired of playing church and say, there's a lion on the inside of me, and I got to let out a war cry. I got to let the enemy know. Does the devil even take you serious? When's the last time you cast him out of somebody? I'm not talking about casting him into somebody. I'm talking about casting him out of somebody. We're too busy inviting him over every night when we watch movies that we're over here casting him out, then inviting him over, then casting him out, then inviting him over, then casting him out, then inviting him over. All of our demonic witchcraft movies and music and culture and all the things the enemy front, it always goes back to. The book of Revelation says, I wish that you were one or the other. He says, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're just right in the middle. Do you know what the middle is? It's the American church. We are living right in the gray area, and the devil owns the gray area. It's like the super radical Christians that get real sweaty at church. They're just regular Christians and then the world. This is how it goes. The super radical Christians and the world. I'm sorry, friend, but there are millions of people in the American church that are going to hell. There are people in this room tonight. That's why I get up here and I'm shouting and screaming. That's why I have anxiety all day from the moment I wake up. We are not fighting a war over oil. We're not fighting a war over freedom. We're not trying to figure out who's going to be the next president. We are fighting over the souls of this city. We are fighting over the souls of your family. And it's time for some of you to start taking this thing serious and say, I have the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus. This nominal, normal, casual Christianity, you got to get like David and say, my soul, it thirsts for the living God. I am thirsty. I don't need to wait on a good message. I don't need to wait on a good preacher, but I need to put my big boy. Praise God, brother. When's the good message coming? Friend, when are you going to get, oh my God, help me tonight, God, to be so nice to these lovely people. When are you going to get so hungry for God that you're not going to let the person you came with stopping you from running to this altar? When are you going to get so hungry for God that you're more interested in an encounter than your comfort zone? Because I can't find a place in the Bible where God encountered people in their comfort zone. And you want your comfortable life and you want Christianity. And you're going to have to pick which one you want. Because the road that we are on is difficult. The road that we are on is narrow. And when I was praying at pre-prayer this service, I said, oh God, what are you doing in this church? And God said, Isaiah, you got to let this church know that I have not called them to be a thermometer in Antioch, but I have called them to be a thermostat. And I said, God, what does it mean? And I got on my full of the Holy Ghost Google, and I read that a thermostat is something that changes temperature, and a thermometer is something that declares and measures temperature. We are not here to say how bad Antioch is. We are not here to spectate on what's happening, but we are here to change. the moral climate of this city. Let us ask ourselves this question tonight. When is the last time we healed the sick in this city? Guys, when is the last time we raised the dead? When is the last time we cast a devil out of somebody? I'm just not one of those type of Christians. There's only one type of Christian. And Jesus said every single person. In fact, the last thing he told the disciples was in the book of Mark chapter 16. And he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, they will heal the sick. They will cast out devils. They will speak in other tongues. They will have divine protection. That means you can drive through the hood and the bullets may just go around your car. He said, you don't have to be afraid of the gangs. You don't have to be afraid of the president. You don't have to be afraid of the addiction. You don't have to be afraid of the... I'm telling you, friend, when you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the devil might come after you. The Bible says that we are hidden in God, that we are camouflaged from the enemy, that when the enemy tries to attack us, when the enemy comes after us, he can't see us because we have the camouflage of the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, he sees Jesus. And he's knocking a mess. You got to get bolder, church. We can't sit here another day, another weekend, another night preaching good messages, but not walking out. James says it's like a man that goes and looks himself in the mirror and then sees what's wrong, but walks away the same. Some of you have heard way too much good preaching. I listen to Apostle Henry on Facebook on all the posts that you guys make, and you're getting the fire, you're getting Preacher Man, you're getting Kwame, you're getting all these amazing ministers that are preaching and ministering, and they could preach up a storm, and they have all the latest and greatest revelation. But what are you doing right now in the kingdom of God? What are you doing to throw out the idols? What are you doing to cast out devils? What are you doing to heal the sick? What are you doing to make disciples? The Bible says if we don't produce, then God cuts us off. What would happen if we were to look in this room tonight and God said, I'm coming back? Would you make it or would he cut you off? Is there fruit right now? I want you to look at your branch tonight and say, is there fruit in my life? Am I exercising patience and peace and joy? Is there people being discipled in my life? Friend, this message is just as hard for me to swallow. Am I praying for the sick? Am I raising the dead? Am I casting out devils? Well, I'm just trying to raise a family and have a good job and do this. I'm saying there has to come a time where you start engaging the machine so that you could grow in your faith. You can't just sit here and spectate another day. I believe this night is about activation. We're going to lay hands on everything breathing in this room. We're going to see those that are sick healed. But there's a spirit of repentance that's going to come on this place in a couple minutes where I believe people are going to run to this altar. They're going to say, I'm tired of sitting back. I'm tired of being casual. I'm tired of being like Samson and sleeping with Delilah, which in the Hebrew means casual. But I want to get serious about the presence of God. I want to get serious about the power of God. I need the presence in my life. I need the presence in my job. I don't just need Jesus. Come to the altar. Invite Jesus in your heart. He doesn't have to go to your job. He doesn't have to go to your home. He doesn't have to go to your work. He doesn't have to go to your college. He doesn't have to go to the grocery store with you. Just leave him in the church. Leave him in the car. Don't bring him anywhere. Bring your iPhone. Sit on Instagram all day. Sit on Twitter all day. Waste your life for things that won't matter in 100 years. But what would happen if instead of inviting him into your heart, you said, God, I invite you to invade every single part of my life. I invite you to my job. I'm not going to become like the temperature. I'm going to change the temperature. I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm going to lead everybody else. It's not your boss running your job. It's you running your job. You have the Spirit of Almighty God. You're not some weak, some pansy, some corny, some powerless Christian where the world steps on you. But we're going to trample tonight on the head of the enemy. We are going to invoke the presence of God. Wow, I'm sweaty. Here's the two things he either does. two things that are going to happen tonight. Very simple, not complicated. I have flash drives for $25. There's my perfect plug. If you want a cute little fancy message with a whole bunch of nice revelation and points, there's 20 messages for $25. Praise God. There you go. That's not what we're doing tonight. Why? Because this church isn't an average, normal, religious church. This is an army of people that are being equipped to go trample on the head of the very devil himself. Some of you will get delivered tonight. You're either going to get your branches cut off and all the things that are holding you back from producing, if I get my brother on the keyboard, all the things that are holding you back from producing fruit, or you're going to get cut off. And I don't know about you, but tonight I'm saying, God, if there's anything in my life that is preventing me from producing, I'm cutting it off. Maybe your 4 hours a day on Netflix is preventing you from producing fruit. Let me say it this way. Maybe your ungodly relationship with that girl is preventing you from producing fruit. Maybe it's your boyfriend. Oh, well, you know, he's not really a Christian, but he's, you know, he's a good guy. If he's not a Christian, he's not a good guy. And you're not the one to save him. God is. So break it off with him and stop letting him prevent you from producing fruit. Or it could be your bad attitude that's preventing you from producing fruit. Well, the last church I was at, the pastor, this isn't the last church you are at. Stop bringing all of your dysfunction into this house, a house that's sending people every single week to reach the streets. If you're going to a dead church, guess what? I know no other pastor will tell you, stop going. You got to be in a place that will equip you. You got to be in a place that will pour fire into you. You got to be in a place that will train you. We're not here for Chuck E. Cheese or to build up a nursery. Jesus said, Peter, I'm building a church on this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. God is raising up a violent, an exciting, a passionate, and a hungry church. I was in Kansas City last week. I was telling Nino, I was saying, Nino, when we did the altar calls, there was about 100 students that paid $3,000 to fly from all over the world to get trained by different men of God that are coming and speaking. I was the first opening event where we were going to call everyone to repentance. These kids rushed this altar. I'm not talking 5 of them, 10 of them. I'm talking every single person. The fear and the power of God was in the room. And for 2 hours, both nights, almost till midnight, they were screaming on the top of their lungs. You couldn't hear the preacher. You couldn't hear the music. And we couldn't get them to stop screaming. Why? Because God had taken his sword and he was cutting off the areas of their life that were infecting them. Listen, friend, if you go to the hospital and the doctor sees you have cancer, he's not going to preach a sermon to you about your best life now. He's not going to tell you, well, you know, there's some cancer and there's this, you know, there's a huge tumor that's actually going to kill you in like 2 weeks. But, you know, just keep living a normal life. Just be blessed. Just be positive. Positive vibes. Just speak positive. You know what he's going to do? He's going to order you into surgery instantly. Why? Because we got to get the knife, which is the word of God. And we have to cut out that thing that is going to eventually kill you. That relationship might not kill you now, but if you let that thing grow, then that thing is going to kill you. It's time tonight to let the Holy Spirit. And you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing about tonight. There's nobody exempt from this altar call. From the preacher to the pastors to the demons to the deacons. Every single person in this room tonight has something in their life that God is sticking his finger on and saying, that's going to kill you, Achan, if you keep hiding it. And you know, you got that thing so buried under your tent, under your home. Because we know you don't do it in the temple, you do it in the tent. See, Achan didn't hide his compromise under the church. Because we all live holy here. What are you doing at home when nobody's watching, Achan? What's under your private life? What is your thought life? Oh, that's scary when you know that God hears your thoughts. What is your thought life? What do the text messages on your iPhone look like? I'm pretty sure 99% of us would be embarrassed if we plugged your phone into that projector and we went through your history, we went through your music, and we went through your text message. Yet the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the Bible says, will judge the secrets of men. He goes through your phone. He sees what you're looking at on Instagram. Are you trying to scare me? Absolutely. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. This is not casual. This is not a game. This is not a joke. Your eternity is at stake tonight. So you don't take it serious tonight and you stay in your chair like you do every week. And you watch everybody else exercise their faith. And you watch everybody else get changed. And you're on your way home because death doesn't tell people when he's coming to knock on their door. Head-on collision with a drunk driver. And you're driving home and you're thinking about, well, that was an interesting message that preacher preached. I don't really know what it was about, but it was wild. And I felt convicted, but you know, and I almost went forward. But all of a sudden, bright light hits you. And all of a sudden, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you literally blink from seeing bright headlights head on you. And you open up your eyes and you're standing before the one who I was preaching about. And this man begins to show you your life and read through your life. And he tells you, why didn't you just give everything? Why didn't you? You heard the message. You are accountable. Jesus said, better is Sodom and Gomorrah than Tyre and Sidon. Why? Because I preached to you the message and you still didn't respond. And if I would have went to them and preached, they would have repented. Friend, listen, what is stopping you tonight from repenting? It's not going to work if you say, well, I was almost, and I almost went all in, and I almost came to the altar, and I almost cried out to God. And I'm not talking about, I'm cutting it short, 9:05. I'm not talking about coming into the altar for 5 minutes. It is pathetic how long we stay at the altar in the American church. 5 minutes, we're all radical and passionate because we're Pentecostal. And then 5 minutes later, we're looking at our clock going, I'm tired. Why? Because of our diet and our exercise. We don't have the spiritual endurance to run the race longer than 5 minutes. If we were to look at what we looked like in the spirit, friends, so many of us tonight are so weak and anemic in the spirit, we wouldn't be able to last 5 minutes on a marathon. But it's time for us to change our exercise and to change our diet and say, I am not going to consume the food of this culture all week long and then come to church once a week and expect to have passion. This is a lifelong thing. What will it look like Saturday morning? What will it look like Monday morning? What will it look like Tuesday morning? What will it look like Wednesday morning? It's time to let Jesus. Or I'll just do what every other preacher does. Just stay where you're at. Just live in your sin. Never do the many miracles. Never see the dead raised. Never cast out a devil. Never get involved in a supernatural lifestyle of revival. Just play church, and then maybe on Judgment Day you'll make it. I'm not trying to barely get through the back door of heaven because I knew somebody. I want to run to the gates and him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Right now, every person stand to their feet tonight. There's going to be a breakout of miracles in this house tonight. But more than anything, friends, some of you need to get it right with God. Man, I had so much I wanted to tell you and so much planned. And I can say I didn't say one thing off of my notes tonight. Why? Because there is a spirit of compromise in this house tonight. Many of you, we'll be honest, are not from this church. And you came in because I saw you come in and you wrote me on Facebook and you posted all my things saying, we're going to be there. Where are you going to be? And we're bringing a group. And a lot of you just came from other places because you saw that there was going to be a revival meeting. But I'm telling you, friend, I'm not okay with preaching a nice message where you shout and scream and get excited. But those areas of your life do not change. Tonight, the Holy Spirit's sword wants to come and cut off every cancer, every compromise, and every idol in your life. It is not okay to walk out of this place the same. So right now, if that's you in this house, as my brother begins to do a song, as my brother begins to play, I want you right now, if we can get these lights down a tiny bit, that'd be awesome. I want you to make your way to this altar and say, God, I want you to cut this off. God, this area of my life that doesn't match your will, I need you. Come on, come out of your chair. I need the Spirit of God to break this off of me. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to be apathetic. Pathetic. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to do the same old. Come on, this is your moment right now. Stop spectating. I don't want anybody looking around tonight. Come on, you listen to me for 45 minutes and you're going to sit back and wait for somebody to beg you? If that's you right now, out of your chair, come up and begin to cry out to God. Come on. Come on, guys. We got to get out. I'm this religious, worried about what everybody thinks, spirit. There's only one person that matters, and that's the Spirit of God. Come on, if there's an area of your life that has to change, if there's something you need to give God, this is the only way we will see breakthrough in this city. I want you to find a place at this altar. If you're a part of the awakening team and you came with me to pray for people, I want you to begin to make your way around this room. And we're going to begin to lay hands on people. We're going to pray the fire of God. We're not going to do this for 5 minutes, but we're going to call upon the Lord. We're going to cry for the spirit of awakening and the spirit of revival. We are going to ask the Spirit of God to break into our lives tonight. It starts with desperation, friend. It starts with desperation, friend. I wish it was easy. I wish you could just sit there and spectate. Jesus said, anybody who's thirsty may come to me and get water. Are you thirsty tonight? Come on, are you thirsty tonight? Come on, let's cry out tonight. Let's ask the Spirit of God to awaken us. Come on, prayer team.